In the 1980s, spelunkers entered a deep cave in Romania that had been sealed off from the outside world for a long but unknown period, and found 33 species of insects and other small creatures, spiders, centipedes, lice, all blind, colourless, and new to science. They were living off the microbes in the surface scum of pools, which in turn were feeding on hydrogen sulphide from hot springs. Our instinct may be to see the impossibility of tracking everything down as frustrating, dispiriting, perhaps even appalling, but it can just as well be viewed as almost unbearably exciting. We live on a planet that has a more or less infinite capacity to surprise. What reasoning person could possibly want it any other way? What is nearly always most arresting in any ramble through the scattered disciplines of modern science is realizing how many people have been willing to devote lifetimes to the most sumptuously esoteric lines of inquiry. In one of his essays, Stephen Jay Gould notes how a hero of his named Henry Edward Crampton spent 50 years, from 1906 to his death in 1956, quietly studying a genus of land snails in Polynesia called Partula. Over and over, year after year, Crampton measured to the tiniest degree, to 8 decimal places, the whorls and arcs and gentle curves of numberless partula, compiling the results into fastidiously detailed tables. A single line of text in a Crampton table could represent weeks of measurement and calculation. Only slightly less devoted, and certainly more unexpected, was Alfred C. Kinsey, who became famous for his studies of human sexuality in the 1940s and 1950s. But before his mind became filled with sex, so to speak, Kinsey was an entomologist, and a dogged one at that. In one expedition lasting 2 years, he hiked 2,500 miles to assemble a collection of 300,000 wasps. How many stings he collected along the way is not, alas, recorded. Something that had been puzzling me was the question of how you assured a chain of succession in these arcane fields. Clearly, there cannot be many institutions in the world that require or are prepared to support specialists in barnacles or Pacific snails. As we parted at the Natural History Museum in London, I asked Richard Forte how science ensures that when one person goes, there's someone ready to take his place. He chuckled rather heartily at my naivete. "I'm afraid it's not as if we have substitutes sitting on the bench somewhere, waiting to be called in to play. When a specialist retires, or even more unfortunately, dies, that can bring a stop to things in that field, sometimes for a very long while. And I suppose that's why you value someone who spends 42 years studying a single species of plant, even if it doesn't produce anything terribly new." "Precisely," he said. "Precisely." And he really seemed to mean it.